This episode is brought to you by IVP. Use promo code IVPWHP, that's IVPWHP, at ivpress.com to get 40% off and free U.S. shipping on any IVP resources mentioned in this episode.
When life feels like a wilderness, a place of uncertainty, exhaustion, and spiritual stumbling, what do we hold on to? In her book, Enough for Today, Donna Barber speaks to those whose spirits are weary. Through 40 reflections, Barber draws parallels from the manna that sustained the Israelites in the wilderness to God's unexpected and life-sustaining provision in our lives today. And as a listener of this podcast, you can receive a special discount on this book. Check the show notes for more details.
This is IVP. Welcome to the Wholehearted Household Podcast. I'm your host, Helen Lee. In every episode, we spotlight a book of the Bible, share a discipleship nugget for you and your family, and end with a spiritual practice to draw closer to God. So I'm someone who suffers from a syndrome called revenge bedtime procrastination. This happens when people intentionally stay up late to enjoy a little personal time, even when they know it will negatively impact their sleep. But, you know, I'm a busy mom. I work outside the house full time. I am a little more introverted than extroverted, so I need a lot of alone time. And I find the quiet of the night when everyone else has gone to bed so soothing. Until it's way past my bedtime, and then the next morning I wake up super exhausted and probably a little cranky. Ugh! We've all had those days, or weeks, or months, where we just can't seem to get out of our own way, right? Where we know somewhere in the back of our minds that scrolling to one more video, or saying that thing that we know will set off our spouse or co-parent, but we just can't seem to stop ourselves. Well, that's where the Israelites find themselves in the book of Judges, stuck in this spiraling pattern of self-sabotaging behavior that only creates more and more distance between them and God. What good news could come out of this dire situation? Keep listening to find out. Let's invite God now to be with us during this time together. Dear God, may you open our ears, our minds, our souls, and our whole hearts to receive whatever you may have for us and for our families today. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Bible Spotlight today focuses on the book of Judges and is adapted from Tell Her Story, How Women Led, Taught, and Ministered in the Early Church by Nijay Gupta. The era of the Judges was a major transition period, following the events of Joshua and coming before the establishment of the monarchy in 1 Samuel. The narrator of the book of Judges makes it clear that this was a particularly dark era for Israel because they lacked clear and sustained leadership. In his compassion, God sends judges to deliver his people. In Judges 17, 18, and 19, we hear of Israel's lack of leadership repeated through the line, "In those days, Israel had no king." Two other repeated refrains also make Israel's wandering known. The line, "The Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord," is found seven times throughout Judges. And, "All the people did what was right in their own eyes," is repeated twice, once in chapter 16 and another in chapter 21. Israel wrestled in this period with living and behaving as a unified people. Instead of moving forward with their mission and ministry, they were constantly distracted by their own evil desires, which constantly got them into situations they could not get themselves out of. So the book of Judges narrates a seemingly hopeless cycle of ups and downs for a wayward people. First, the Israelites cry out in suffering at the hands of the Canaanites who are occupying the Promised Land. Then God, in his compassion, sends an Israelite judge to deliver them. For a season, the Israelites experience peace and rest until they begin settling back into their ways of idolatry and irresponsibly intermixing with their enemies, thus starting the beginning of the cycle over again. The majority of the judges functioned as temporary warrior leaders raised up by God, but it's important to note that many are not role models. The stories of Gideon and Samson are just a few examples. Instead, these stories are meant to exemplify the need for a better king. first through the rule of King David, and then ultimately through the lordship of Jesus Christ, the new and better David.
It might be tempting to gloss over the destruction and violence of the book of Judges, but if we do, we actually risk missing the beauty that it contains. While Israel loses their way, God does not lose them. While Israel is unfaithful, God remains faithful. And while Israel falls into the downward spiral of sin, God is always, always there to deliver them. It's not that there aren't any consequences for their sinful actions. Rather, God's love for us is greater than anything the Israelites, or we, could possibly do. This week's discipleship nugget is the practice of confession. Up to now, what has confession looked like for your family? If you haven't practiced confession together before, that's okay. I have something for you to try. First, gather your family together. If your kids are younger or they haven't been exposed to the idea of confession before, briefly explain to them what sin is. Easy, right? It's okay. If you don't feel comfortable explaining this yourself, check out the resources linked in the show notes, or simply explain that sin is anything that draws us away from God, or that harms rather than loves our neighbor or creation. Then invite your family to confess the ways that they have sinned this week. Remember that vulnerability breeds vulnerability, and you might want to share first to make the rest of your family feel comfortable. Confess what is appropriate for your children to hear, and don't force participation, but instead provide a loving and safe space for them to share if they want to. Next, invite your family to kneel or sit with an open posture, whatever posture feels right for them. If your kids are older, you can print or send them the following prayer to pray together. And if your kids are on the younger side, you can just have them repeat the prayer after you. For the very youngest kids, just mirroring your posture and watching you model confession will work great. Here's an example of a prayer of confession. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Finally, once you've all prayed this prayer together, one of the adults or one of your older kids can pray the following prayer over the whole family. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you'd like, you can follow this time of confession with a time of celebration. You can do this however your family likes to celebrate: a scoop of ice cream, playing or singing worship songs together, or having a good meal together. Both of the prayers from today's discipleship nugget can be found in the show notes and in the 1662 Book of Common Prayer.
Welcome to this week's spiritual practice. In Judges, we saw the way that sin, suffering, and cycles of dysfunction plagued the Israelites, and also the way that God's mercy and love for his people were greater than even their worst failures. But the Israelites in Judges aren't unique. In fact, they're deeply human, and if we're honest with ourselves, we can probably find more in common with them than we'd like to admit. Just like the ancient Israelites, we mistrust God's leading and fall into dysfunctional patterns, sometimes even replicating the harmful cycles we're used to in our own lives and families. But the good news is that God is faithful to us, just as he was faithful to the Israelites long ago. And we don't have to replicate the cycles of harm and destruction we've experienced. One exercise that can help us become aware of these cycles and our part in them is the practice of self-examination. This is the practice of turning inward with an eye toward where we are missing the mark of God's love and truth, where we have sinned, and then offering these places up to God for forgiveness, healing, and transformation. The following practice, adapted from the Spiritual Disciplines Handbook by Adele Alber Calhoun, offers a framework that we'll use today. It's important that we come to self-examination, not from a place of condemnation or shame, but from the foundation of God's love. As we begin, bring to mind a safe place and feel how you are surrounded by the love of God. Ask God to help you see yourself the way He sees you, absolutely and with love. Once there, ask yourself, who have I injured recently through thoughtlessness, neglect, anger, and so on? Has an argument with a spouse or family member turned bitter or resentful? Have I fallen into patterns of communication with my kids that break rather than foster trust and vulnerability? Take the next few moments to look inward, trusting that the Holy Spirit will guide you. As the Holy Spirit brings people or situations to mind, confess your feelings to God. Ask God to forgive you, and if need be, to give you grace to forgive those who may have sinned against you. If it makes sense, take a step to repair that injured relationship. Write an apology, initiate a conversation, or begin to rebuild trust through action and presence.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Wholehearted Households Podcast, a production of InterVarsity Press. We pray that you and your family have been blessed by this episode as you seek to follow Jesus with your whole heart. Please check out our show notes to learn more about the books, resources, and authors referenced in today's episode. This podcast was made possible by the generous support of the Lilly Endowment. If you appreciated the resources in this episode, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or on your favorite podcast player. This show was written and produced by Karen Savella-Stallard, Caitlin Borick, Abby Lee, and Travis Alberton, and narrated by Caitlin Borick, Jack Reese, and Karen Savella-Stallard. And I'm your host, Helen Lee. Join us next week for another episode of the Wholehearted Household Podcast.